Welcome back to the City of Palms podcast. Thank you for watching, viewing, and subscribing. 2 years we're doing this podcast in a couple days. Actually, by the time this comes out,
this week will be the 2 year mark.
There we go, dude.
Proud of us, dude. Yeah. We're going to keep on going. Before we start, I did want to shout out our niece drew a really dope picture of the two of us, and I'm going to put it up here so that you can see it if you're watching the YouTube video. If you're not watching the YouTube video, get to the YouTube channel, and I'll probably put that. She sent me a time-lapse drawing of it, and it's super dope. I'm really glad that she did that, and it means the world to me. Thanks, Emma.
Shout out, Emma.
Today, though, we've got an exciting guest, Impose Technologies. We have Chris Milamina. How are you doing, bro?
Great.
How was your day today?
The days just kind of mesh together. I don't know. I just work all the time. But it's fun.
You
it's
grind, dude.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming here because you do. You work on a lot of stuff. I see your social media, and it means a lot that you're here to chat with us.
Oh, no. It's fun. It's fun.
So, are you born and raised here? Or
no. So, that's always a long story every time someone asks me. My whole life is a long story. I used to live in Florida for a little bit in high school, 3 years of high school. I used to go to Port Charlotte.
Okay.
Yeah. I was also in Port Charlotte for sixth grade. And between that, I lived in New York, went to college in Richmond, Virginia. And after graduating college, went back to New York for a bit, lived in LA for a little bit, and eventually found myself back to Florida.
What age were you in LA?
And
why were you over in LA?
So I was in LA because after graduating college, I was in pre-med. I decided not to do medical school for a couple reasons. Long story short, I'm sure we'll get into the long story, but I decided to go into bioengineering, and San Diego is kind of like the hub for bioengineering. So a couple things crashed in my life at the same time, so I was like, you know what, I have nothing here, so might as well just pick up and move to California. That's where I want to go anyway, so might as well just go now. And that's why I ended up in LA.
Dang, what was that transition like?
It's beautiful. So you go into Target in LA, and then Target's amazing, you know, as it is. But then you walk out, and there's just mountains in the distance. And you're like, this place is beautiful. And you could also run through the mountains. I remember running through the mountains and seeing all of, like, the rich houses from below. And it's beautiful there. But some parts are kind of sketch. And then coming from New York, I thought that I'd be used to, like, dirty city stuff. But, like, Hollywood LA is just, it's terrible.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Is it a different energy at all, or is it pretty similar to the hustle and bustle of New York?
It's different only because in New York, it's more business. So, you know, you go into the subway and everyone's wearing suits. Everyone's in black. It's very stock market, you know, attorney, business person. And LA is really cool. That's why my sister loves it, because it's very much entertainment. So everyone there, like, it's also like New York, everyone's grinding, but for a totally different reason. And the reason's almost cooler, because it's kind of, it's not like you have this huge, like, you know, education, you know, very straight edge background like in New York. It's very much, you know, people from everywhere be like, I want to be an actor. Like, I want to be a singer or be in the entertainment industry, or I want to be an influencer. And they're all just getting after it. So, you know, some people, you know, it depends, you know, but everyone in their own way are just really just putting themselves out there and just trying new things. And you walk around and you see, like, the lines for auditions just around the block.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of like that starving artist is kind of, it's a cool thing there.
Yeah.
That was my experience. My sister would know more because she's in it. I would just like see it from walking down the street.
What was she doing in L.A.?
She was doing that. She wanted to be an actress.
Actress, okay. Yeah. So then what, you went there to pursue a job with your bioengineering degree?
That was before the engineering, when I decided to pursue it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
To pursue bioengineering. And my plan was to kind of go to school in New York for a little bit, because that's where I was. But then kind of things just fell apart. And since I said my goal was to be in San Diego, once I kind of didn't have anything left to hold me back in New York, I decided to just fly to LA. It was crazy. I went there and I didn't have a job. You know, I had some savings, but it was just no job and no place to live. I stayed with my sister for a bit. And then, you know, she was like, you know, you can't stay forever. And I was like, Like, I was just totally resigned to be like, I would just sleep in my car under this bridge. Everyone does it. You know, they're all these homeless people and they're fine. So I can do it too while I, you know, while I work. But
what was your day to day like?
Did you do that?
I didn't do that. We found an apartment last minute.
True. Because that's a dedication too. This man was talking about the same thing. He was He lived in Pennsylvania for a bit, trying to come back down here. And, you know, rent down here is not cheap. So he's like, dude, I'm thinking about if I get a gym membership, if I get a van, I'm grinding so hard I can sell my art out the van, get the Wi-Fi and shower from the gym.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, there are ways to do it now.
Hustle and bustle.
Yeah. Luckily, he got a house where we'll do a podcast. Imagine a van podcast.
Steve-O does that. His is in an RV.
Yeah, but he's got exactly an RV.
Yeah, he's got a studio in there.
Yeah, there you go.
But what was your day-to-day like?
Ways. You could have got people going in the gym. You get, you know, guests all the time coming in and out of the gym. You have a little
space. You just stop someone between their set. Yo, you want to come do the podcast? No, that would be cool. I was legit going to do that, too. I was, like, looking into getting a van so that I could, like, deck it out and just live out of the van.
It's that. I'm sure you've heard all about Tony Robbins, but he has this famous quote. All of his quotes are famous. But this one I really like. He said, focus on talk about the problem 10% of the time and the solution 90% of the time. And I've really internalized that as well. It's like, okay, I have this problem. I have no place to live. Like, all right, that's it. Now what? And it really is, you know, well, the gym has Wi-Fi. The gym has, you know, showers and toilets. People are shaving at the gym.
Yeah.
Like, no one will know that you're homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And that's a good point. Because even if you, like, even if the solution is super complex and, like, there isn't many, like, logical solutions, if you spend 90% of your time thinking about what a solution could be, You're most likely going to get to it rather than, because some people do spend 90% of their time just talking about the problem And they're just stuck in that problem.
And the brain is kind of like a machine, so whatever you put into it, it'll come up with solutions, like reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I wanted to ask too, he was touching on it, I don't think that camera's recording.
I'll reset him.
What were your day-to-days like when you were up there?
In LA, it was very much just try to get back into school and working. So I graduated college 2013.
Okay.
And it was really much really trying to get back into college because you don't get grants after you have your bachelor's degree, at least not that I saw. Mm-hmm. So it really just, it would be out of my own pocket. And I had nothing in my pocket. But so I guess in LA, it was just like when I was in New York for a bit, it was just go to work and try to get back into school. And I guess you couldn't just go into school yet. You know, you had to wait for the fall semester or you had to wait for applications. So that was really it, just working. And what I was doing in LA was just, you talk about winning streaks, right?
Got it tatted on my arm.
Yeah. You have to explain that to me because I still don't understand the concept very well. But based on what I've heard, I guess, it was kind of, my time in LA was very much the first big test of what are you willing to do for this goal of yours. And it's because I was living like in this apartment, but I had bunk beds, you know, with one other dude. It was a nice place, but still, it's like no privacy.
A studio? Mm-hmm. Like a studio type thing?
Yeah. There were like seven people in it.
And how much was that too in LA?
It was $700 a month.
For you?
For a bunk bed.
And that's for you? That's what you paid?
Yeah, that's what I paid. Man. The guy in the top bunk also paid that much.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's terrible there.
Yeah, I've heard, but I was born and raised here, so I really have no experience with it, but I've definitely heard the horror stories.
Yeah.
What were you doing for work over in California?
Yeah, so again, this was my first test, I think, because I was washing dishes at PF Chang's.
Okay.
And just, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, right? You know, but me being like how we are raised, you know, do well in school, go to college, and you don't want to be flipping burgers when you're an adult. You know, I fed all this information. And then, you know, I was doing pre-med, decided not to do pre-med, but there's still that kind of ego there, you know, like I was pre-med. And here I am, just I'm washing dishes, and all my friends are getting married and having careers, and all that. It's a big ego thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like my first test. Like, are you willing to sacrifice your ego to get what you want? And obviously, I was like, yes. But it was hard, you know. But what are you gonna do? Just keep going.
What made you make that decision? Like, what was
it pulling you forward?
What was the motivator there?
To do what?
What was the dream that you were looking at the end of the tunnel?
Oh, so I always wanted to start a company. That was my always, I mean, ever since I was a little kid.
Like, CEO I type
to,
thing?
Yeah, wanted to take over the world.
Yeah.
You know? Ever since I was little. But yeah, I wanted to start a company, and it wasn't because like the CEO kind of label. It was more of when you have your own company, you can do what you want.
Absolutely. Not submit to a 9-to-5.
Yeah, you know? Not even that. It's so one of the things I want to do with the company that I have now, and I was inspired by you, actually, because I always knew this. There's this quote I say, it says, start before you're ready. And I, you know, sometimes you just have to hear it over and over. But when you said that, you know, you can do, you don't have to wait till you have $1 million, or you don't have to wait till you can be where you want to be now. And so this inspired me to do what I'm going to tell you. I remember I was in New York, and I saw this, I was in the subway, and I saw this, just this woman looking at, I don't know if you've ever been to the subway, they have ads on like the top corners of the train, the ceiling. She was looking at this ad that was above me, and she like took out her notebook, and she was like writing it down, and she just kind of looked like downtrodden. And so eventually I looked, and it was kind of like, it was like college, right? So I could be completely wrong, but the way I imagined it was like, maybe her son's like in the wrong crowd, and she wants to like get him into college, you know, she wants to like make the family better. And I could be completely wrong, right? But that's what the story I told myself. And then I was thinking, if I had my own company, I could have gone up to and be like, hey, like, your son needs a job, let me help him out. And you can do that when a lot of people are like, oh, money's bad. But when you have money, you can do things like this.
Mm-hmm.
You just help people just because you want to. That's mm-hmm. just super awesome. So now that I'm at the stage where like I have a company that doesn't, you know, I don't make no revenue now. But I have a platform at least where I can do things like that. So I want to start some sort of, I guess, campaign to just help people.
Mm-hmm.
I, as you know, I'm doing this like running challenge, run 100 miles in 30 days, and I'm not doing very well. It's going to be a real challenge.
That's tough.
That's tough. That's a good challenge.
I don't think it would have been a challenge if had I been disciplined and ran 3 miles a day. You know, cause it's not that bad, 3 miles a day. It's putting the time in. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
Putting the time in to do 3 miles a day. But now it's going to be a physical challenge because I can't just do 3 miles a day now.
That's right. The thing about running. You go a little bit without it, and then you're like, you're going to be huffing and puffing next time.
So I'm thinking maybe one day I'll just run 10 miles. But that's not going to be enough. You know, I'm going to have to run 10 miles multiple days.
Little end of the month, you just run 10 miles a day for all week.
I'm going to have to call it David Goggins. And
just
run 90 miles in one day.
Yeah. That man's a legend.
So what's the name of your company? And so what's the mission statement?
So I call it Impose Technologies because the product, I originally wanted to call it Impose. And the reason for that is, have you heard of Gary Vee?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it might have been him, but he said something about like when you're trying to sell something or start some sort of business, it's kind of like find something about yourself that you can sell. It might not have been him, but I think it was him. And so I remember that one day I was trying to think of, like, I was in this place where I wanted to start a company, but I didn't know what to do at the moment because, you know, eventually I'd like to get into the biomedical field, but that costs way too much money right now. You know, to even start, I have to buy a lab, you know, and buy organic chemist. You know, I didn't do too great in organic chemistry, so I can't do it myself. Although I'd love to like study, go back. But I thought, like, what about myself? Can I like market to people? I can sell to people. And I think more than the average person, I have the ability to kind of just separate myself into two different like aspects. Like one part of me wants to go to sleep, or like one part of me wants to be lazy, but another part of me wants to do something that's difficult, that's gonna be better for myself. And I'm very good at having that part of me impose its will on the other side of me.
Yeah,
I love that. That's hard to do.
Yeah, crushing that inner bitch. You got to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is because like Joe Rogan says, he said he likes to work hard because he knows what it's like to not work hard. So I think part of that is kind of like me because I'm very hard on myself. Like there was this one time I couldn't bench 225, and I remember like I'd be like, oh, if I could bench 225, I'd just be so happy. And eventually I did, and I was happy for like a minute, And then the next day I walk in, I'm like, those two plates are kind of thin.
Then you want to hit 315.
And I see guys looking at 315. I'm like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I see some guys looking at 225. I'm like, that's how I look.
I know. That is so how it is too, dude. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but it's because I'm really hard on myself. So maybe that's like one reason why I'm so ready to just like beat myself down to do better. Like that's one part of it. But another, like we don't always control how we are, right? I think like our brain, we don't control our brain chemistry. So I think maybe I was just lucky that I'm better at that than I could have been. But yeah, so I decided like what part of myself can I like sell and market?
Mm-hmm.
And it really is that, you know, forcing yourself to do something you don't want to do. And it's really about like discipline, right? Going back to Jocko Willink, it's all about discipline. And what he says and what's obvious is that discipline starts in the morning, because once the day starts and you have all these text messages and emails and, hey, can you come to work? And someone called off, you know, like,
yeah,
I was going to go to the gym and like be better myself, but I guess I'll go and, you know, count boxes, $15 an hour.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what I want. I found that that's what I could do. And it was just like a process of how do I do that? Like, how do you build discipline? And I remember thinking a lot of times, I wish I had a personal drill instructor to just force me to do the things I wanted to do. Because sometimes you don't want to do it. And I wish that I had someone to force me to do it when I wasn't enough to force myself to do it. So all of that kind of came together into let me design some product that'll help me force myself to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where discipline starts, in the morning. So if I can't force myself to do it, and I can't afford, you know, Jocko to come and wake me up, maybe a piece of technology can do it. And that's where that product started. And then the post technology just kind of, you know, long way to answer why the name is, it just, I didn't see how else it could be named. So I think future products that I have in mind is all going to be around that. This is kind of like, this is a problem you have, and it's easy to get into that problem. But maybe this piece of technology could help force you to do it better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you working with Elon and the nano chip?
No, I wish.
That's what it sounds like.
Impose will just wake you up for you. We're up.
I wish. You know, they always talk about these like prosthetic limbs, and I'm like, I want prosthetic limbs. Like when the day happens when you can just get bionic limbs.
Bro, yeah, get rid of that.
Get bionic limbs, legs, just slowly replace myself with robotics until I'm just all machine.
For real. I think what first stood out to us, I think I saw the trailer that was on the, I believe it was on the Kickstarter, where it showed the side-by-side mornings, where it's like the person that wakes up when their alarm goes off, and then the person that like hits snooze a couple times, and it shows their days progress and how, and I loved it because it's literally a side-by-side shot of like the person brushing their teeth, and then they go and like, you know, work out for a little bit, and then by the time they're headed to work, they've got their coffee, they're good, they're chilling, they got, you know, like they're in their car, and you see the way the other person's day goes, and just like, you know, frustration, negativity, and just, I guess like self, you know, cause you don't feel good about yourself when you know you woke up late, you know, you didn't get to the gym, you know, you didn't like make breakfast or eat something healthy. Like you carry that for your whole day.
Exactly.
And it's crazy how that starts literally right when your day starts, right when your alarm wakes you up for the day. That's when like, it's almost like a roadmap to what your day is going to be, you know?
First battle of the day, they say.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized this pretty recently. I saw my phone and I realized this, these technologies these days, I feel like a lot of it's sabotaging us, because when you see your alarm, the biggest button is snooze.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Like, I set this for a reason. And they're making it, it's already the path of least resistance to snooze, and they just made it so much easier.
Yeah, I'll be accidentally hitting snooze. I'll just reach up to my phone and then like, oh, it's not going off anymore.
Yeah, it's like hitting one of the buttons is the snooze.
Yeah.
Just turn it off as like this little button. And I don't know if it's just me, but I can never, like, the screens don't work for me. I miss the physical keyboards, but it's so hard to like click the turn off thing. It's like snooze is so easy to click.
So what would you do differently? What would you do differently? Would you make like a like an alarm clock with like the button on the bottom?
Yeah. How'd you become a morning person?
It was really just forcing myself again. I'm pretty good at that. Lately, because
cold
I don't sleep. What's it?
Cold showers.
I start to do those. Yeah, I want to get
those
back
are brutal.
In.
That's what me and Danny are on.
Yeah. When did you start doing that?
I've been doing it. I started it like a month or two ago, but I used to do that because I wake up, my shifts at Aldi's start at like 5 a.m. So yeah. I'll wake up at 4 and there's just sometimes I can't get to bed until like 11 and it's impossible to be just perky in the morning. So I'd wake up and just throw myself right in. First thing I do, and I tell myself every morning, I have that like decision where you like comfortability and go make a coffee and sit on the couch or jump in a freezing cold shower and like can't feel, you know, that you lose your breath for a second. Uh-huh. And I would always like turn on that cold shower and like feel it hit my arm and I'm like, and then I'd like really still eyes almost closed, just like slide open that shower door and just, all right, and just jump right in. And you, if you do that every morning, it almost is like a win right when you start. That's a win, you know, winning streak. Yeah. And it helps.
Yeah.
Helps me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to do that, but I think I moved someplace where the water didn't get cold enough.
So
like, what's the point?
So you're just chilling in the shower and fall asleep? Because a warm shower in the morning doesn't help.
It doesn't, no. And lukewarm is just like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, then you're just delaying your morning because then you got to dry off and then you got to...
Exactly, and then you're just wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just, I don't know, I feel like it'd be weird to just, I don't know if you do this, but just to get wet. Like, don't you have to like...
Yeah, you got to like do something.
Yeah. Then it's just weird. It's like...
Did you have any techniques though to become a morning person other than cold shower?
For me, when I was really good at getting up early, I was really excited about lifting.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it's just my excitement, my motivation for lifting has just disappeared lately. I don't know why, but that's one thing. I mean, get excited about something in the morning. If it's to read a book, you know, even if it's like, listen, I just bought Ghost of Tsushima. On a PS4, it's just an amazing samurai game.
Whoa.
And it's cool because like the missions sometimes are like 10 minutes. So you kind of still feel like you played a good, like, oh, you saved this town. It's just been 10 minutes. But you kind of got your video game thing on. Haven't been able to play in a little bit. But even if it's just, hey, I want to wake up and just play a video game for like 10 minutes. Like, you need a reason why you want to get up. That's the thing. You can't just say, I'm going to be a morning person for no reason, because... Like when you wake up, like I found this for myself, I can have all the willpower in the world sometimes going to bed, and in the morning I'm just a completely different human.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that part of the brain just hasn't been activated yet. And that's actually one of the problems that my product seeks to solve is, so it records motion. I don't know how much you know about it, but you have a hand cam. I have a little prototype here. I don't have the electronics with me because I'm working on it, but...
Yeah, I've been wanting to see this thing.
Yeah. So, again, people say alarm clock, it doesn't tell time, but it would open up for a display. Again, all this stuff is at home because I actually lost the LCD screen, so I'm gonna have to buy a new one.
I like the logo, very crisp.
Yeah. That's sick. So, you actually made an alarm clock?
Yeah.
That's dope, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I designed this software. And, because I'm not a software developer, mm-hmm. so I have very limited skill with computer code. But with the skill that I did have, I was able to say, like, this is what I want the code to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard if you don't know computer programming because you don't know, like, the limits of what they can do. And then if you know nothing about it, then when you hire someone to do it, it's kind of like they have to figure everything out. But since I was able to give them a good blueprint, I could be like, this is what I want, and you write the stuff. So,
nice.
But yeah, so anyway, you have like a handheld controller like this and it records motion. So if you want to do jabs, you want to do air squats, jumping jacks, an accelerometer in the controller records that. Mm-hmm. And what I found is that after about like 11, 10, it's weird. For me, it's 11 seconds. After 11 seconds of like physical activity, I don't feel the need to hit snooze again or to go to bed. And because the blood rush that whatever like needed to happen. And I remember, oh yeah, I wanted to go to the gym. Or, oh yeah, because I work in an hour and I need to get something done. And like my willpower comes back. It's really about like moving. But that's the hardest part. If no one's there to force you to move.
Yeah.
And you kind of forget why you wanted to because you're kind of still groggy. It's like, it's hard to do that. So with technology, we can actually do these things. You can have like, it help us instead of just sabotage us and have snooze like the biggest button.
Yeah,
man, that's genius. So is that remote the only way to snooze it?
So I planned for worst case scenarios. So I obviously don't want the alarm to just be going in perpetuity. I have some stuff in the software. So it's like, I want it to be as customizable as it can be. So what I have now is that after you get to pick, so the alarm goes off and you get to pick how long you want this alarm to go off before, like, you just accept the loss for the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can say, have it go off for 1 minute. After that, it'll turn off. And with technology, it's like you're having trouble with logic, right? So that's like a pretty well-established software.
Mm-hmm.
So something new, I also don't want them to just be recording and that you know you're recording correctly and it's still like not registering, because that's what happens with technologies.
Mm-hmm.
So there also like be a feature where like you have a certain amount of attempts. So you can say 3 times. If at 3 times it's not registering, I'm doing it right, it'll just turn off. And obviously, like by 3 times, you've moved enough. So the point isn't really just, it's less in the specifics and more about the goal. The goal is to get moving. And it's hard to do yourself.
Yeah. And even if someone were to cop out and like pick up the controller and like just shake their arm or something to like get some movement while they're still laying in bed, even that would probably get some blood flowing, right?
A little bit. But I feel like worst case scenarios, right? I feel like, so when I was designing this, I had to look at patents. And actually, it's pretty cool that Samsung actually has a similar patent where they have some device that you shake. It's not shake, but it measures intensity. So this wouldn't register, but like this would.
Oh.
So Samsung actually patent something similar where it matches intensity. Mine doesn't only do intensity, it does position as well. And I feel like, because I would be the type of person to be like, I'm going to do 20 jumping jacks for, I don't know, like 10 minutes of jumping jacks in the morning to wake me up. And then I wake up and just be like, be in bed and just shake it. Like, I would do that. So I had to plan around for that.
Yeah.
So I feel like people are probably worse than me out there, or at least as bad. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That's cool. What's the name of the alarm clock? So, it's RHO, right?
Yeah, I recently changed it because I can, right? Because it's not fully funded yet. So I'm always going to make it better until the day that it's fully produced. I'll probably be making improvements.
Mm-hmm.
So I coded Row. So the Row alarm. A couple of reasons, I think, like, it's imposed technologies, there's too much impose your will. So I wanted to get away from that. But Row is actually, in physics, Row is for resistivity. So it's resistance of a current in a wire. And it's very much, like, this is kind of what it's doing. It's like stopping your resistance to waking up. I don't know if you've read any Stephen Pressfield. Have you
done
that? Oh, man. You need to. I might buy you a book from him. So he talks about the idea of resistance. So anytime you want to do something good, like have a six pack or start a business or write a book or make a CD, if it's good for you, there's going to be resistance there. And he calls it a malevolent force. He said it's a malevolent force in you. It's not you, but it's in you. And he calls it resistance. He said it wants to kill you. And
it's like, eat that McDonald's.
Exactly. And like when you do like try to do something good, you know that it, for some reason, there's this part of you that wants you to stop and quit. And he calls that resistance. And that's one of the reasons why I like the Row so much, because I'm a nerd, so I like the physics aspect. Oh, it's like, you know, resistance of a current, that's pretty cool. But also, like, the very just philosophical, like, thought of, like, resistance. Anytime you want to do something good, like, it's easy to do bad things. It's weird. Even if it's not comfortable, because a lot of times they say maybe doing something not good for you is more comfortable. Even if it's not comfortable, it's still easier to do the thing that's not great for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It's that full resistance in us.
Yeah, that's true.
It's crazy. It seems like that it's like that. You'd think if something's good for you, then you're just going to be fully inclined always to do the thing that's good.
I know, right? That makes sense.
Like oranges, like fruits. Fruits are delicious. It's like some other, like Five Guys. I don't feel great after eating Five Guys all the time. Like, I still feel it here. It's still easier to eat Five Guys.
I know. What is up with that? Why is it so hard? Or like a candy bar compared to, you know, it's both sweets, fruit, candy.
Yeah. I feel like fruits taste better, like a nice slice of mango or coconut.
Yeah, and the aftermath is always better. Like you said, like if you are choosing lunch and you do choose like, you know, like a kombucha and like a healthy burrito and a spinach wrap or something, opposed to like just going down the street to Burger King.
Yeah.
The aftermath, you're going to feel so much better eating the other thing, yet still every day you have that decision to make.
Yep.
Working at Aldi, it's hard because I see like sweets go on discount and stuff, and I'm just sitting there like before my break, like, what do I want to eat? That's $3 off.
Yeah, the kombucha is great though.
I like kombucha.
The dried mangoes, is that's healthy, right? No.
Is it time for break?
Yeah.
Wrap it up. We're gonna take a quick break, just to reset the cameras real quick, and then we'll be right back for part number two. So you talked with your company about technologies, you know, bettering the world and like making groundbreaking innovations and stuff like that. Tesla is obviously like something huge popping up. How do you feel about like automated cars and like how crazy that technology is ramping up? Because like I feel like I would be real nervous to have a car drive me, you know what I mean, and like have it take turns and like park and stuff like that.
Yeah, I feel like as long as everyone has that, it'll work perfectly. That's what I feel. You get rid of the human error. Yeah, you get rid of human error, and you have, as long as there's like a known grid system of roads, as long as the roads are just recorded, and I feel like it would just work great, because the human error is the big part. But again, I feel like everyone has to have it, because if you have all these automated cars and then just one guy just not knowing what's going on, then they can ruin the whole thing. I mean, I'm no expert, but that's just how I feel, based on driving.
What about flying cars? Because literally as a kid, I always thought by 2020 we'd have flying cars. But like hearing Elon talk about it, it makes sense, because
it's exactly what he said.
Yeah, there's no way to really determine what's going on up there, you know? So a guy could, there's no lanes up there, or there's no signs.
Do you remember Jack and Daxter, Jack 2, whenever hover cars were introduced to the game? And there was like highways above you at all times in the game? And you'd take these hover cars and you'd like get onto these like hover highways, and the cars were like up on the hover highways.
I don't. But on the Elon note, I don't want to forget, my bad, that I don't remember that. I wish I did. Those games are fire. I miss those games. Literally Jack and Daxter and Ratchet and Clank too.
So sick.
Classics.
You can download them, right? Can't you?
Yeah, you must be able to.
Yeah, you must be able to. I gotta look into that. But Elon did say in one of his cars, dude, literally he's thinking that he told Joe, yeah, I think it'll be able to elevate about
the Roadster,
12
right?
to 18 inches off the ground. Go for a little bit.
Because it has like jet technology or something like that. And then Joe wrote, I was thinking when I heard that, I was like, oh, it's going to like go up for a sec and like, you know, like ramp a speed bump or something like that. But he said it could go for like a little bit. Like it could go like down a street or something
that. And if you make that better, that's the type of flying cars we will see. Because then it's like no different than on the road, but probably save you on tires. Might be worse for the, I mean, if he's doing it, I don't know how he'd be doing it, dude. How can you do that in an electric car? There's no jet thing or anything.
I don't know. I don't know the technology. But imagine if it's
We should redo our roads with magnetic roads and the magnetic...
If like most people have an automatic car or electric car, like if it becomes a majority thing, then like that's when something like that would be definitely a good alternative, to where if there was whole new road systems, then you could have hover cars where you wouldn't need tires. There wouldn't be... You know, like, think about that. If you didn't need, wheels on your vehicle, and you just, it'd be, like, a whole different transportation system.
Maybe for, like, a different civilization.
I don't know if
society can pull that off. Right,
I don't think we can. We can't even transition to renewable resources smoothly.
Yeah, just to redo all the roads.
Yeah.
I think Elon can do it.
Maybe he'll just start. That's why he's going to Mars. He's like, these humans aren't cooperating. Let's go to Mars. And
I think his Tesla, too, because, you know, his Tesla that he drives, probably his personal one, it's got to be super
Model
super,
Z.
You know, because he's constantly to update your car. No, if you have a Tesla, to update your car, literally, you install it on your phone. And it's like, it's just like you get a Tesla text like, hey, you check your car, it's updated.
Hey, get that update.
So his, you already know, he's running on iOS 72.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And his car can probably hover. So while ours can hover, he's just like, ah, this is crazy. Yeah, this was a bad idea. I'm off to Mars.
This is woo.
Everything is automated. I think hover cars would work. You know, again, I think it'd work perfectly as long as everything's automated.
Mm-hmm.
Because the computers can work with 3D space, you know, fine. But again, with people, they can't put their blinkers on. How are you going to have them navigate through, a 3D environment.
Yeah.
Have you played Cyberpunk at all? Cyberpunk 2077, that new game.
I think
it's 2077, maybe 2047. It's fun. Yeah, it's fun. They have like in it they, you know, it's real realistic. It kind of gives you an idea, especially where we're at today. It kind of gives you an idea. I don't know. It's not far off that I could see somewhere where it being like this. And it like in those like the cars where you get in, you basically get into the car and it's kind of like an OnStar type thing. But like there's a virtual human interaction on the digital display screen. And he's the driver, but he's like, he's not there, but it's like, oh, take me here real quick. And it's like automated that yeah. I could see that too popping off. Like you said, though, everyone has to have it though, but that would be kind of the new car normal. It could get there too. I don't want to see it get there because I'm a gearhead, but like GM, I think has sworn that like by 2035, they're going to do no more gasoline motors from them. They're doing all electric.
35?
And GM supplies like Chrysler, Chevy, yeah. GMC, you know, a bunch of, you know, car, like everyday cars. So, I mean, it could slowly get there. I don't know if our lifetime, but who knows?
Yeah, that sucks. It's not going to be our lifetime.
Yeah.
You ever played Mass Effect?
I haven't
either.
Oh, man.
I've heard a lot about it, though.
It's mm-hmm. great. Essentially, they find this thing called a Mass Effect relay in space, and then it kind of just like hyper jumps them to other civilizations where, like, the whole universe is connected through these mass relays, and humanity had like never had access to it until one day we did, and we found out that all these civilizations exist. I'm like, I want that. I want to live in that. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, that's one thing when I think about like Mars and like that whole concept. That's not something that I will likely ever see any sort of like Mars. You know, I don't know though. Maybe when I'm like an
Mars,
old man.
I think so. Dude, there are multiple companies already. Like Richard Branson and Virgin Galactic now, they've already been working on like commercial flights to space. And he teamed up with Under Armour, and they have like spacesuits now.
Whoa!
Yeah, so that's gonna be in our lifetime. I don't know about. I think so. I think even going to Mars you might see in our lifetime.
Yeah, I think Elon said like 15. I don't want to. I'm paraphrasing for sure because I listened to.
No, but he thinks quick.
While, but
yeah.
Yeah, he's thinking quick, dude. And I mean, if anyone could get it done, it's him.
Yeah.
But also, I want to see the light rail thing he was talking about underground. I want to see that.
See, that's something
that
I'm excited about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the boring tunnels.
They've already started in California,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which is like, oh. Could you imagine that here? If in season, it's like, oh, dude, you could get to Orlando in like 25 minutes. Oh,
but like
so good.
The terrain is just too wet here, right? It wouldn't work. Right? It's like, it's very just.
I don't know. You know, that's what I think we were talking about it.
Oh, yeah. You're like,
why
is there no basements?
Don't have basements.
Yeah.
There's like some excuse for it, but it's like. I've dug deep before, dude. We used to dig the water every day. Do you remember that?
We would just dig till we hit water.
We'd grab a shovel
right.
And dig till we hit water and then fill it back up.
I forgot that we would do that.
That's on some discipline stuff right there. I wouldn't do that if
Did we just have like sand patches in our backyard or something that we would dig? Because I remember you and I'd get scared that the vultures would think, because I would be sitting like so long, like digging there, just sitting in the yard, that like anytime I saw
yeah,
like a bird circling, I was like, did they think I'm dead? Are they trying to pick me up?
Yeah,
dumbass kid.
That's probably why we don't have basements though, because there's just water under.
Yeah, that's what I told him. We're at sea level, so you couldn't like to dig like a room's worth of like space underground would be very messy. You probably could do it, but.
How are they talking about that though? About the thing from here to Orlando. How are like they talking about that? Like if you can't have a basement, like would it be,
I don't know.
Like,
I don't
would
know.
Be a monorail would it go above like Simpsons?
No.
Are they talking about that from here to Orlando?
I thought I heard that. Like they were wanting to do like some sort of hyperloop, like you said, the boring tunnel, like but like it would essentially at the speed you're traveling, it would essentially get you from here to Orlando in like 25 or 30 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm just I don't know. I don't know if an underground railway would be possible around here. I could be wrong, though.
I mean, an above ground like monorail would just be fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of those super, what are those, hyper trains, bullet trains in Japan? Just have that here.
Or what if they just had, like, separate lanes? Like, I've been thinking, even if, like, on regular highways, just, I mean, this wouldn't work, because seeing how long road work takes.
The hyperloop lane, it works like a treadmill, yes.
Yeah, no, and yeah, have, like, the hyperlane or something, and that's, like, you have to have an automated car to log onto the server to get onto the hyperlane. And then, Tesla vehicles, he says they can go like, you know, you could just zoom. You could go like 300 miles per hour or whatever. You know what
Who says that?
Well, they go 0 to 60 in like whatever amount of time
you
want.
300 miles an hour in a Tesla?
You probably could.
No. No.
No, not 300. What am I saying?
Yeah, no.
But you could go way faster than the Roadster, motor engine, right?
The Roadster, he's rating 0 to 60 in about...
The length it takes to get across an intersection. It could be at 60, he said.
Yeah, so it's like one, cool. like 1 point, literally like 1 second.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah, but
The cap on the speed, because it's not a motor engine, so like you could the cap on the speed.
Cap, bro, and it's not 300.
I know that was far fetched, but like
you're lucky to hit 180.
What,
dude? Because if you think about, it, maybe it could hit two, but why? Why?
Oh no, yeah, I'm talking crazy.
Thinking more like safety features. Fast, quickly is better than just. Too fast.
Yeah.
If you've been
saying.
Fast, it's like from if you're going 130 and beyond. I mean, I haven't really gone past like 170, but from 130 to 170, it's like there's no difference. It's just scary fast. But getting there quickly, getting to 0 to 60 in 1 second, 0 to 100 yeah. in like 3 seconds. That's what we're. That's fast.
Yeah,
that's
but fun. When I'm talking about like the hyperlane concept, I guess I'm thinking of it more like some sort of giant vehicle that could like travel way
with
faster than cars could.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But you gotta like put your like it's like a train with like a bunch of things, and you like drive your car on because you can't get to Orlando and have no whip. So you drive your car on, and then drive off in Orlando, or you keep going. You can take it all the way up to Florida. That's what I'm talking about. Feel me?
Yeah.
Honk your horn three times.
Transport system here. Where you just park your car into it and then.
That's what I'm saying. Think yeah, about the big freight trains, how they have the big shipping containers, but it's more like modified, how the size is just a garage door. So you're waiting at an area, pulls up, stops.
You're gonna be like
drive on.
If you close up and you can have people like bring you drinks and food.
Yeah, dude,
yeah.
We're on to something. I think we should cut this out and kind of just continue this conversation off air. Honestly.
But back onto business, at what point in your journey did you realize that this is what you want to start doing, like this is the business that you want to do? At what point, like where were you living at the time?
So again, not specifically this product, I guess. So the moment, and this is gonna sound crazy, but I know I was in New York, and I was, there's always like, I always say I'm like an ogre, and when I say I'm like an ogre, I mean I'm like an onion, and there are like so many layers to everything all the time.
Right.
But so I guess two big thing was I made a list of what I would think would make me happy, and it's not the typical list of, you know, get married, have this house, make this amount of money. It was because that doesn't bring you happiness, right? Even though you might still think it does, like even I think, you know, if I could buy a yacht in cash, I'd be happy. But that's just not what the data says, so I know I'm wrong. So this list was what would my daily life look like to be happy? And one of it was running. And I was never a runner. I remember in high school we had this PE class, and I don't know if we were in trouble or if it was just a warm up, but he said you're either going to run laps until he says to stop or do push ups until stop. Everyone ran laps. I dropped down and did push ups. I'm not running, I hate running. But as I grew up, I just felt like I see all these people, and there's all this like data for running, like raising your endorphins and all that. So I decided that I would just be a runner. And again, it's like that imposed thing. I'm very much good at imposing what I think I would like, even if I don't want it. So on that list was running. So I started to get into running, and you know, obviously now I love it, so it's great. But one of the other things on the list was I wanted to be part of something where I'm constantly innovating. And I didn't see that being a physician. So even though I've studied for the MCATs and, you know, going to hospitals and shadowing and looking, volunteering, all that stuff, I saw more physicians doing more paperwork and more of, there's this quote where they're saying, it's like, if you think it's a code, it's probably a cold. And that's just, I was like, do I want to do this for the rest of my life? Like, is that what I want to do? And so, you know, it wasn't. I want to be innovating. So that was one of the things on the list. And that's when really I decided I was going to stop pursuing medical school and I guess pursue something where I'm always innovating. And so anyway, so I took this list of like, what would, like, I write a lot of lists. I wrote down like innovation. What does that mean? What does that look like? What I have to do? Like I said, if I could, rewind a little bit. When I was going to do medical school, I was thinking, I wasn't just going to be a doctor, because that's just not me. I would I was looking into a physician scientist. So what that is you could go to medical for 2 years, you stop, you go get your PhD, and then after you get your PhD, you continue medical school for the next two. And after that, you know, there's residency and fellowships. And I was thinking, like, this is going to be the hardest thing I'm going to do. Like, if I decide to do this, it's going to be the hardest thing I'm ever going to do in my whole life. And I thought that, well, if I'm already willing to do the hardest thing I'm going to do ever, why not make that goal just be insanely big? Because I'm already willing to do all the work. So why, you know, why limit it to physicists and scientists, which is already big? But if I can dream bigger, why not do it? I'm already willing to put in the sacrifice. So that plus the idea of innovating, this is the crazy part. I was like, if I could be anything in the world, what would I be? Immediately, I thought Goku. And I was like, well, within the realms of physics, because I would love to be a Saiyan. I'm like, how? Anyway. next one was Superman, but you can't be Superman. So I thought, you know what? I'd love to be Iron Man. That's pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
And then, you know, again, it's like when you're brainstorming, even with engineering, they say if you want to come up with a solution, brainstorm and put in the stupid things. Even if it's dumb, it's unrealistic, put it in the brainstorming session because it might work out to be something later. So I was like, Iron Man, cool. That's within the realms of physics. And I said, well, what does it take to be Iron Man? Tony Stark. So I looked up with Wikipedia about Tony Stark. I looked up to educational background and it said, engineering. It's mechanical engineering. So I said, all right, I'll do that. And I already had the bio part because of pre-med. So I was like, biomedical engineering. I didn't even know it existed, right? Like, I had no clue this existed at the time, but just because I said Iron Man, Tony Stark, engineering, and then I looked up the different fields of engineering, and I saw bioengineering. And it's just, you know, prosthetics, regenerative medicine, personalized medicine, like all these really cool things that I had no idea existed. And it was because I decided to chase this stupid goal of being Tony Stark. And that's when I decided, all right, I'm going to go back to school for engineering. And like, even then, like, I was not great at math. I'm still not great at math. But like, one of my closest friends, he called me up and he said, Chris, I heard you're going to go into engineering. I said, yeah. He said, and you know, people in your life, when they tell you not to do something that you
want
to do,
get out of here, kid. We don't want you in here.
It's Graham.
It's because they care about you and they don't want to see you like suffer, right? So he's like, listen, like, I'm good at math. Like, he's talking to me. He said, I'm really good at math. And he said, Chris, I know you're not great at math. You're going to struggle with this because, like, engineers study harder math than I do. And I really respected him, but still, I was like, okay, cool. Like, I just didn't pay attention at all. But just to go back to engineering was already, like, again, it was one of those tests, like, I'm not great at math. I failed calculus 1 3 times before going on to calc 2 and 3. You know, so it's like, that's when I made the decision. When I made that decision, it was just, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And that's what brought me here. And even, like, I don't think I went very far even. Like this isn't even fully funded yet. So, like, when I say I got here, like, I don't think here is very far from where I was, but...
Oh, it's far from where you were, but far from where you want to end up.
Exactly. I feel, yeah. I'm more focused on where I want to end up. And it. Some people say that's bad, but it kind of motivates me. It pushes me. It's exciting.
And I feel like you have to have like some sort of end goal in mind.
You always have to keep the end goal, and you can never get complacent. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're like happy with the progress you made, you're never going to strive to like, you know, you'll be like, oh, I've made it this far. I don't need the cold showers. I don't need the extra time. You know, you start making these excuses for yourself.
Yeah, someone put it perfectly. He called it blissfully discontented. So it's kind of like day to day, I feel like I'm a happy person. You know, I go on the runs. I feel amazing. You know, I am innovating. I mean, I have another product that there's a product before this one that I wanted to do, but it was just too technologically advanced for me at the time. I had to like study materials engineering. I got this like super complicated book. Like this is too hard.
What are you doing?
Hey, it's not your episode. Come here, dude.
There's this meme of like how to prepare for a Zoom interview, a Zoom meeting, and the cat is like duct taped to the wall.
yeah, dude. We have these animals, man. It's like a circus. Come on, bro. I'll grab him.
Is it he or she?
His name is Dexter.
Oh, this is okay. This, all right. That's the big cat. Okay. That's like he's not as big as from far away. But
I'm allergic to cats. Oh, really? I don't fuck with cats. Yes, sir. Oh.
Sorry, dude.
It's all good.
But anyways.
Yeah. So blissfully discontented. You know, it's be happy where you are, but be discontent as well, so that you're always, you know, pushing forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that. That is how, like you said, with lifting and stuff. You kind of need like. It's much easier to go to the gym if you have, like, something written down. Like, I need to be able to do this thing. Like, I need to be able to bench 300. Like, yeah. That way, every time you go to the gym, you have it in mind. Like, if I do this, then I'm going to be a little bit closer to that I'm looking at. You know what I mean? So, I feel like if I didn't have that, like, if I didn't have some sort of end goal I was looking for fitness-wise, yeah. I probably wouldn't ever go to the gym. Just because, like...
You know, you're right, actually. I think that's... My goal is always to bench 225 and, like, military press 135. And ever since I hit those goals, my motivation has really went down. Now that you took, maybe that's it.
Dude, what sparked me actually is I stopped putting like quantities on my goals, and I started putting like I want to be able to do certain things. Like for example, like a handstand pushup is
that. That's awesome.
Thanks, dude. So that was one thing that I was like, that's something that I can't do. Like me as a human, I cannot hold a handstand and balance and pull myself down and push myself up. Not strong enough, not balanced enough, you know? So if I practice these sorts of things, I'll be able to do that. Same with like a standing back tuck. Like that's hard to do. Just a backflip. Okay. Like that's hard to do as a human, you know? Like you have to be strong. You have to be able to jump high. You have to like be athletic. And, and so like me with fitness, that's kind of like what I've put on myself is I want to be able to do like a muscle up too. Have you heard of a muscle up?
Yeah.
I want to be able to do one, and it's so hard. I was trying one the other day. I was like, maybe I'm getting close. I tried it, not anywhere near close, but it's like really it keeps me going. Yeah. And like it, like strengthening certain tightness, like certain areas of your,
I guess that's true, yeah.
And if you have like a super strong upper chest and like shoulders, which I do not, you could whip yourself up there.
Yeah.
So, but having those like less quantity oriented things and more performance things, because I'm like you were like, I would love to be Goku, because Goku can like, you know, like the way he trains, he can do one finger push-ups and like all this stuff. You have to be incredibly fit to be able to do that. Yeah. And so that's helped me kind of like reignite that fire for fitness inside.
I like the numbers though. I used to be into powerlifting, so I like that, you know, bench press this amount.
Oh, I love
that. Yeah, he's more like that too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My max deadlift was like 425.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And but after that, deadlifts, I hear so many horror stories of just people hurting their backs.
Yeah.
So nowadays, I look at the deadlift bar, I'm like,
Did you see the video of Larry Wheels recently?
No. It's terrible.
Did he tear his pec?
It's an incline bench. Yeah. I mean, I think so. He's incline benching, stupid weight, and it just, you see his pec. He's wearing like a stringer tee. You see his pec just pop out, and he literally drops the weight. The spotter shouts to the spotter. The spotter is literally holding that weight like this and re-racks it because he dropped down and like, And yeah, I mean, it's brutal. Yeah, you see stuff like that. And yeah, it's scary when you're hitting big numbers like that.
Yeah, I think I'll get back into it when I can afford the surgeries to get better.
Yeah.
Because right now, if I hurt myself, like, I can't afford that surgery. So when I can, that's when I do it.
Yeah. But back on that blissfully discontent concept, how would you say, because you work hard through your day-to-days, I see on social media, like, you wake up early, you run miles, you're always grinding, and sometimes it can be super hard to find time for things that, like, really just keep you smiling, just keep you happy, things like video games, like, entertainment of some sort. What are some reasons that you're still happy in your day-to-day, you think?
It goes back to that list I told you about, I also studied psychology in college, so... There's really a difference between happiness and fulfillment as well. You could be happy, not fulfilled, and you'd be fulfilled and not happy, which is, it's weird to think about.
Yeah.
But that list that what I wrote about what would make me happy daily is really fulfillment rather than happy, because happiness, I think, is really just biochemicals in the brain. Like, there's been days when nothing has been, like, nothing went wrong, and I'm like, why am I depressed today? Like, everything, like, nothing bad happened. I just feel bad. And who knows, it could just be the way that how the moon is reacting with the chemicals in your brain. You know, there's just all this like astrology stuff with, you know, how the stars affect you.
Yeah. Fuck that. Well, it's some patch shit. I think that's, dude, because no, I have days like that. Fuck a star. Like, I used to be like that too, dude. But I see similarities in you, like when you're saying you're super hard on yourself. I am too. I'm fucking, yeah. I'm very hard on myself. And yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, no.
But what triggers that just random unhappiness, you know?
The urge to like constantly do better. Like for me, dude, I've been grinding and, you know, I've been working all day and come here to do the podcast. I'm not in the gym one day. I'm going to go. I've been all week, continuing to go all week. But like, I'm looking at myself in the mirror before I came here. I'm like, you're a piece of shit. You're a skinny piece of shit. Dude, so like being hard on yourself and that's what it is. The like strive to get better. You're striving to get better so hard that you're lacking one area. Like I've recently been shitting on myself too. Cause I'm like, oh, you haven't been eating right. You know, like I haven't been eating enough cause I've been working so much and studying so much. Cause I like just got this new job. Yeah. I haven't been eating enough. So I'm like, man, like,
seems like there's always one, like you can only choose one out of four or like three out of four
and
things.
And if you start to focus on those, that's why we focus on the winning streak. Like if you focus on those, you wake up in the morning pissed and stuff. Like, you know, it's a trigger effect too. And I think a lot of past stuff can have like to deal with that too. Just like, I don't know, like when I'm in the gym and I'm lifting weight, I don't want to lift and it's heavy and it sucks. I'm like, I'm just literally looking at myself in the mirror or I have my eyes closed or just like thinking in my head, like, you're a bitch, dude. This is lightweight. Like, you're a bitch for real. And I'm just, it's like, and I just like push make that shit mad. Out. Yeah. Like,
I don't think I'm that hard on myself anymore though. I don't really go to the negative talk too much. When I do, it's really hard and really negative, but not all the time. I think now it's like, I think you mentioned in the message, like how Dragon Ball Z fires me up. It's more about if I can't lift the weight, I just imagine like one for all 20%, you know, just, that's what I love about anime. It's kind of like they always show that there's always more you can do. You can always push more, even though there's this, I think it's one of the Dragon Ball Z movies when Goku and Vegeta, they're fighting like, I don't know, like Frieza's brother or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's all of them, they beat them all. And then there's this other guy comes out and Goku's like, Vegeta, can you still fight? Vegeta's like, what the hell kind of question is that? Of course I can still fight. Yeah. So it's not like, oh man, you suck. It's more like, I can do more.
Yeah.
I don't suck, actually. I know I can do more. And if I can't, like, I'll go beyond my limits.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of it, too, is like a lot of, especially the main characters in anime, they display this, like, you know, they don't beat themselves up when they look in the mirror and they see like they're smaller than they want to be, or like look at the bank account and it's smaller than they want it to be. They like when they're asked, you know, like for example, I'm reading One Piece right now, just started One Piece. It's dope. But like, but he wants to be king of the pirates and he's just this skinny little, like barely pirate kid. And he goes to these big ass pirates and he's like, hey, I'm going to be king of the pirates. Just like Naruto says, I'm going to be Hokage. And then, you know, and Goku, I'm going to be the strongest fighter in the universe. And all these people are like, you're just, no, you're not. And then they're like, yeah, I am. And even though, like, even at that point in the show, they're obviously not good enough. They're going to get their ass kicked by like anyone else in the show, but they know where they want to be and they're okay that they're not there yet. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that's like a lot of times realizing you're not there yet can be like really encumbering sometimes. Cause you're just like, dang it. Like I still have that whole road ahead of me. Like, dang it. You know what I mean? But fulfillment is what you were saying. Like that's important. Cause you can feel fulfilled by doing these things.
I want to touch because I know I'm not saying that the stars affect your happiness, but I'm saying people say that. And what I wanted to say is actually like when you, I have a huge science background, but when you think about how just you interact with the universe, it's not too far-fetched to think that maybe a star a billion years away does affect me somehow. You know, when you see how they don't think gravity, they think gravity can just pervades out the entire universe, like it can go through dimensions. So it's like, what if, have you heard of a super, I don't think it's superposition, it's something in quantum mechanics where the spins of electrons, so you have one electron here, one electron here, and they're spinning, so they're related to each other, and when you change the spin of one, the spin of the other changes as well. Well, they do these experiments, I don't know how they do it, but they somehow monitor two electrons on like both sides of the earth, and then they mess with one and the other one feels the effects. So whoa. They're wondering how are these two electrons connected to each other. They just run tests and tests and tests, and it does seem like when they modify one, the other one also feels that modification. So it's like maybe these ancients had something right when they talk about the stars and the universe, because it's not far-fetched to think, maybe like if two electrons, right, can are interacting with each other, well, the mass of just atoms and electrons and everything in our brains, and we don't really know how we interact with the universe just yet. You know, like when you're thinking about someone, you're thinking about someone, and they call you. Like everyone has that experience.
Yeah.
That can't be coincidence every time, you know? So when you take into like the quantum mechanics, quantum physics experiments that we're now seeing, and all this like kind of like anecdotal evidence that we're seeing, it's like maybe the stars do have some effect. But all of that was just to say is that happiness isn't really something that I think that we should strive for. I think it's just like we get hungry. Like I feel like that's maybe the happiness is just we get happy one day and then we're not happy the other day. But with fulfillment, it's something that we can actually analyze. And that's what I did for that list. I said, what will make me fulfilled every day? So you said that I'm working all the time and, you know, what do I do to be happy? Well, that work actually does make me happy. You know, running actually, it makes me fulfilled. Like, I'm working on a company that I'm building and, like, it's what I said I wanted. I'm innovating every single day. How can I make this better, you know? This isn't what the final product is going to look like. You know, already I changed the name. You know, when you look at the materials for manufacturing, this is a 3D printed prototype. Like, I'm not going to use this 3D printed material. So already it's kind of like, well, with the material that I'm going to be limited to, what can I do? Like this controller, how can I change it? And I'm thinking about the next product and the screen. Oh, can I make it touchscreen later? You know, it's all this stuff like years and years away, but in its work, you know, it's not just all fun just to like brainstorm. It is work because it's going to cost money. There are limits in space. Of the space of the product you can use and the code and all that, but it's fun. So it's work, but it's fun. It's fulfillment.
Yeah, and I see it too, like on your Instagram stories. When I see like the other day, you posted something about like going to bed, but then the next story was like nope, and it's like a picture of like a song in the background, your energy drink. It's like yeah. I'll sleep when I'm dead, and you go back to grinding, like on the website or something.
That's a competitor in me. So I can be so competitive. I was running, I think 2 days ago. And I was having a bad running day, but there's this guy behind me. Like I passed him, and then I saw him running, and then he's catching up to me. It's like, oh no, like he's not gonna catch up to me. And then a while back, there was this guy who passed me, and he's a better runner. I couldn't keep up with his pace, but when I started pushing myself so that other guy didn't beat me, I actually started to catch up to that guy who passed me earlier. And I was like, I can push it. I can beat him too. And like obviously they don't know that they're competing with me, but I know I'm competing with them. But I just killed myself to beat them, and I did. But that post was about I saw this guy have this product on Kickstarter and funded $1 million.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And I was like, I can't go to sleep now. Like,
that's right. Win. Yeah, he saw another company had raised so much money, and he's like, I got this.
What it was, and I'll just give them a shout out because you can look it up. But they designed this like pepper shaker. So if you ever like ground pepper, so I guess he did this where it's like it's smoother. So if you've
there's
ever...
no more crackles.
Huh?
There's no more like crackle. Like,
yeah, how it's like
when you fresh crack it. It's like... Yeah, or is it so just like?
I guess it is a problem when you're like. But I mean, I don't know. But I guess if like that's a big issue in your life.
He's just got a button.
Doop. Now there's this product where it's just like. There's $1 million. I'm not saying that that's not a great product for people who like love pepper in their dishes. For like $1 million worth, I don't know. Yeah
if that can raise $1 million, let's get this one $1 billion. Yeah, dude,
I'm in so much trouble. I'm offering discipline in your life. You can achieve your dreams.
And then, I know, right? Yeah,
$0. But it's good
that's
though
definitely because... gotta put you to work. I feel that.
Yeah, it's good though because I recently changed my strategy with this, and this actually might be good advice for you guys. I'm part of this networking group of all this like really successful people, and I had a talk, a Zoom call with one of these guys, and he makes like his thing is product development, and he said a lot of these companies that you see raise money on Kickstarter and Indiegogo, they raise money to build a product, but they don't turn into businesses. Because it's two very different paths to create a good product and then to create a business. So the advice he told me was, so what do you want to do? Do you want to create this product or do you want to have a business? And that kind of like shifted my thinking a lot. So like I'm glad the Indiegogo didn't work out because that's the building a product, but I want to build a business. So what I've been doing now is kind of just getting to know people in the community, networking more. I changed all my social media. It used to be solely product focused. I changed it to now company business focused. So it's like all those things that I thought were negatives were actually positives to getting to me where I needed to go.
Winning streak. So what are we talking about? What winning streak is? Yeah, that's it. Really, is like seeing all these like little things that you might look back on and be like, damn it, you know. But yeah. Thinking on it is like, oh, that was so. I now know this for going forward.
Yeah.
And even Gary Vee, you know, stretches the importance a lot. He doesn't stress winning streak, but like his theory, you know, he says like, you know, I once saw a video. He's like, you have like a 1 in however many % chance of being born who you are. You know, you could have been born a blade of grass or something, you know. So every day you wake up, you know, you open your eyes, you're in that bed. That alone is a winning streak. You know, there's people, you know, that don't wake up. There's people dying out here. So like, that alone is a winning streak. And then everything on top of that, even, I don't know, looking at like, we also, you know, nothing is a coincidence. That's like something we do too. So like, say you wake up late for work, and you're stressed and you're going, you don't know what you missed. You know, had you left to work that,
I think about that all the time.
You might not have been waking up. So,
cause you know, when you like, if you like rear end someone and that your whole day is fucked up, cause like, bro, I just didn't pay attention for 1 second, rear ended someone. If I would have just left like 15 seconds later, I wouldn't have hit that person. And like, you get caught up on those thoughts sometimes. Yeah. That when I'm late or something bad happens, I try to, like, even though it might seem like delusional optimism or whatever, I try to just twist my brain to try to make it a positive, where it's like, I'm late, but you know, just so you can keep going forward.
Yeah,
because if you get caught on the little things, then it's 12 o'clock and a couple bad things have happened. You stubbed your toe getting out of bed, you were also late, and you know, you had to, something else. And then it's only noon and you're like, oh, you know, someone's like,
and then you drop your phone, your phone cracks.
How's your day? Oh, this happened. But yeah, flipping the perspective of how you look at things, winning streak. Yeah. And this helps too, man. Looking down every day, seeing the tattoo.
And the reason that I feel so strongly about like just trying to continue to have that mindset is because, like you were saying, with the electrons like affecting each other, there's lots of like, you know, lots of belief systems on how we all like interact with each other and how like the universe or energies or whatever react with each other. And at the end of the day, it's if you start your day bad, or I clock into work and I'm in a bad mood and I'm like checking out customers and I'm just kind of grumbly because I like had a bad morning, cracked my phone late, whatever, rear-ended someone, then that bad mood is going to be passed on to like anyone I have an interaction with. Yeah. Where like that energy rubs off onto them, you know what I mean? And then they're gonna take that. And that, but if I stay in this mindset of just like, you know what, it's all good, like move forward, good day, then you can only spread positivity, you know, you can only spread goodness.
Yeah.
And that I think is crucial.
Yep. And in the chance that something good were to happen, say you're having a shit day, you see someone you've always wanted to meet or something good, and you're like, but you're like, not today. My hair, I haven't gotten it cut. I'm in a rush, you know, I'm already late for work, but you see, you know what I mean?
Or you just feel silly, like you're in such a bad mood and you're so like flustered and just like all over the place. And then like something really good happens and you like, I found myself just kind of like, dang, I was in a bad mood all morning. And now I'm like, I'm stoked.
Right? Yeah. Sometimes.
Like just wasted my whole morning. I do like the how you said your posts and stuff on your pages are more like focused on the business rather than the products. I like seeing like what is it? Motivation Monday or something. Yeah. I like how you've been doing the quotes and whatnot.
Offer some sort of content, you know, until the product. I do have a plan for the product in terms of the social media campaign, but until I could, yeah, I think the Motivation Mondays are good.
Yeah. And it's like, it's just continuing to build that brand. Cause that's why I think you don't have any products for me available to purchase, but I am invested in your company because I you know, we live by that whole like morning routine, morning miracle. Yeah. Like, you know, starting your day off on the right foot and innovation and, you know, using technology as a symbiotic relationship with your life and whatever. And that's what the company is all about. Yeah. Regardless of what products you release, that's what the company is all about. And that's what people will get behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like a paradigm shift when he told me that, because I didn't know. You know, I'm kind of just doing this as I go.
It's got to be so important to like surround yourself with people like that. Because some people like to surround themselves with like lesser, like not as successful people because it makes them feel dope. But like, if you surround yourself with people who are way better than you, then you're going to want to like, you know, reach a little bit of it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. That's true.
Yeah, there's what was I gonna say? There's some people, some friends I have, they always complain about their friends and like complain about their social groups. I'm like, there was a time when I realized that I have no toxic people in my life. Like, that was a really good feeling. Like, wow, no one, I don't have anyone to complain about, except myself.
You want to wrap it up here?
Yeah, we've been going for, it's about that time. This has been a good talk, though, dude. Like, honestly, I've been, because it's been a while that, because I think JJ, how do you know JJ, actually?
When I worked at Panera, he was the assistant manager at the time.
What? Yeah. See, for some reason, I thought, because I know he was studying business, and because he pointed you out as a business owner, and he's like, hey, you do a podcast, and, like, he'd be an interesting person to talk to. I thought maybe you, like, went to business school with him or something.
Oh, no.
That's crazy how the paths connect. But it's been a long time since he first pointed out your company. Yeah. And I think that's when I saw the trailer of like the side-by-sides. Okay. And I'm like, whoa, that's interesting. And then just as like time has progressed and me and Danny have kind of like realized the whole discipline aspect of life and really like killing that inner bitch and just like chasing your dreams as hard as you can and working hard, like seeing your Instagram and how your company has been, you know, the posts that your business makes and whatnot. It's just helped fire me up. And it's cool because like that's kind of your intention, you know, with your products is you want to help people and you want to innovate and change the world. And I think you're on the way to do that. Oh, you're on a winning streak, bro.
Yeah, I remember this one story, I guess the last story. I was when I was a kid, we lived in New York and we'd always drive up to Florida. I forget why. Maybe we didn't do it as much as I remember, but we're always on I-75 up and down. I'm a little kid, so I don't really know how economics, you know, business world works. But I would just be lying down in the car with my head out the window looking at all these McDonald's. And I would think to myself, like, there's so many McDonald's. And I wonder if everyone in those McDonald's worked as hard as they possibly can, all those McDonald's would be 5-star McDonald's. And I didn't know, you know, how franchises worked. And I know that not everyone who works in the food industry is in love with the food industry. But that's kind of still been my thinking of, like, you look around and it's like, wow, if everyone like really did work as hard as they could for what they love, like how awesome would this world be?
Yeah.
And so I really want to bring back some like Spartan culture of just, let's just be the best.
Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even if it isn't like seeing that person driving a little faster than you and you speed up a little bit, even if it isn't that sort of like competition being the best, even just being the best for yourself, you know what I mean? Like exactly. With the, you know, in the gym, if you're, you know, repping 225 and you know you want to get to 250, like compete with yourself, you know what I mean? Like be the best you can be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can all do that. You know? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of, like, in the, I guess, the self-help realm, everyone's like making a ton of money or own this car, and like not everyone wants to be rich, and like that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. You could still be the best version of whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like just people need an extra push sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe technology can do that. Maybe, you know, books, motivational videos, anything. But we can do it.
Yeah, dude. If you want to look at this camera here, you can plug any, like, you know, websites, social media handles, anything you want the people to look out for.
Oh, man. This is my first time doing this. I don't know. Can you put, like, a little in post?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah. I guess on Instagram, like, ImposeTech, at ImposeTech. IMPOSE, tech, short for technology. Yeah, Instagram, Facebook. I've been working on just getting everything streamlined. It used to be so many different other things. So now it's really just ImposeTech. ImposeTech.com, Instagram, Facebook. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yep, go like and share. Yeah, share that, subscribe to that.
And be on the lookout, dude, for real, because I'm stoked to see what the path ahead of you entails.
Oh, me too.
And where can they find us at, Danny?
You can find us at City of Palms Podcast on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Do you want to announce this giveaway right here, right now, since we have all the things, since I finished the painting?
I'm down.
We can touch on it. We can touch on the giveaway we got coming out soon. I'm not going to say what we're giving away. Is that fine?
Just go to the Instagram. We'll announce it on Instagram. Yeah, we'll do it that way. Because the camera that's on us is dead.
Okay.
So
that's cool.
So I won't be able to upload this.
So this has been episode 86. Thank you guys so much. Hit him with that outro and soon.